other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Maurice's Cod Pieces, the right cod piece for your bod piece. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hey, boys.
And Brick.
Hey, girls.
And calling from all the way overseas, old Irish Nico.
Hello. Could I get that tagline run back? The right cod piece for your what?
Maurice's Cod Pieces, the right cod piece for your bod piece.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Oh, I should say Maurice, thanks you. Our topic today is about book and book design instead of book forming. So this is interesting because I recently saw Little Women, the Greta Gerwig remake of Little Women, the movie. And at the end, there's a really nice segment of the publisher producing the copy of the book that Joe March writes. It was one of the parts of the movie I liked the best, was watching the book be made. It was really interesting and exciting. And this kind of ties into that kind of topic. It's like, what about books sort of being designed intrigues you or infuriates you? Sort of things about just book design sort of bug you, or your pet peeves, or your kind of little like pet pleasures with book design and formatting? Anything sort of stand out to you as significant? Someone mentioned fonts earlier as being a problem.
Who was that?
It's unclear if you were ready for the segue or not.
Yeah, I am. I absolutely.
So I brought this one up because of a book we're going to talk about soon, or maybe already have, depending on where this comes out. Under the Volcano, the edition I got, I had a hard time getting into this book, and it was in large part because it seems like from you guys, yours didn't look like this.
No.
The font is fuzzy.
Yours looks like it was produced like
on a cheap-ass printer.
On the sly, yeah. Somehow.
On a typewriter?
Official copy.
You said like on a dot matrix printer. That's how I felt.
Yeah. So the font is like, no, not on a typewriter. It looks more like some pages are worse than others, but you know how like old newspapers, it's not like you can see the sort of pixelation around the edges of the letters.
It's very weird.
It's like, so it's just like, it's just.
Is your cover very glossy?
The cover's the same. So so it made it hard to read the book because it was giving me a fucking headache. And then that got me.
I disagree that it was the font. I think this is a very difficult book to get into, but we can talk about that.
We're not actually talking about the book.
Under the Volcano Time. I think that font makes a huge difference to me the first time I'm reading a book. Yeah. I want it to be as legible, as easy to read, as regular, as normal, as not fucked up as possible. And then if I really like the book, I want it to get super artsy for like a reprint.
A lot of times, particularly on first editions, there'll be that little thing, usually at the back, but sometimes at the beginning of the book, that says this was presented in blah 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 typeset.
They have created in 1812 typeface.
Yeah. Do you care about that at all?
No.
Does anybody?
No. So you know, on a first read for sure, and I almost never notice it.
Have you ever been like, yeah, the font in this was nice, I'm gonna go see if I can get that on my computer?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither. No. I bet you there are people that are though. There's like
absolutely
font nerds out there.
Yeah.
But I would say if I really liked a book, like if a book was like my favorite book of the year and I wanted to buy like a special edition of it, then yeah, I would like them to make a bespoke typeface. And I would like them to do like the torn paper.
A lot
edges,
of times the bespoke typeface, it literally says it was like created in like 18 whatever. You know, it's not like they created the font for the book. They just sort of had some aestheticist like
that makes
go
it fucking
it
even
and
weirder.
I mean, I kind of like the idea of it, you know, even though, I mean, it's kind of, you know, some people can hear the difference between records and CDs and MP3s. I don't. I know that this shit's blurry and that sucks. I appreciate the idea that one of the things they took into account was the presentation letter by letter and attaching some sort of historical. I that's more thoughtful than I kind of give most publishers credit for nowadays, I think. So. Right. You know, I think that's nice.
Yeah, I think it's nice too,
I don't care.
Like a Philistine for not really getting it. Like, I never notice it. If anything, the font would take me out of the work versus the other way around. Like, I feel like just notice it and be drawn to it or paying attention to it. I notice, I guess, if you get older editions or sort of a kind of mass market editions of public domain literature, it tends to be in pretty poor font.
It's because they make those books as inexpensively as possible.
Yeah.
Like, this book was probably printed when I ordered it on Amazon.
Yeah, you're...
Which is fucked, because this is Harper. It's not like a...
Yeah, we can't solve the puzzle because your version is so shitty, and ours is the exact same publisher and cover, same edition, and it's really nice.
It really feels like this was printed off when I bought it.
Yeah.
Same cover, but ours is not glossy.
Yeah, ours is like a... They're identical looking. Texture, like a, you know.
But even the way, like, the cover's cut and everything else, like, this feels on demand.
Yeah, my suspicion was this is a review copy somehow. There's no indication of it, but it feels that kind of way, where it's just like a dashed off kind of thing. What about other formatting things besides font?
Maybe it's one of those things where you don't notice it until it's shitty.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, well, it was helpful to talk to you guys because it's annoying that I got where I got, but I'm less annoyed now that I know that I just got a printer error, because it's throughout the whole book.
Right.
It's fuzzy the whole way.
Malcolm Lowry's so, like, print it in an unreadable font.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of within the themes of the book, I suppose, that the lettering's a little blurry. But I'm less annoyed now that I know that it's just a mistake. I kind of wish it wasn't, but...
Yeah, some weird production thing.
Like, if both of our copies were...
If that had just... Like, if it had been a choice to use that font, or, like, someone was just like, yeah, save a bunch of fucking money and just run it off on the cheapest printer possible, then, you know, fine. But it seems like if we have basically the same book, but... my quality's different, then I don't think the issue was an aesthetic choice. It was some kind of manufacturing thing.
Yeah.
Have you looked in the back and maybe it says this book is...
I did.
Type, this book's typeface is blurry Times New Roman.
Tipsy Times New Roman.
It was made in Delaware.
Classic Delaware mistake. Answer, yeah.
Fucking Delaware. God damn it.
Lots of books are printed in Delaware.
Nothing but tax havens.
Delaware listeners.
Shitty printers.
What about other formatting things that sort of either annoy you or intrigue you? I know someone mentioned
the deckled pages.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. What is that?
That was David.
What are deckled pages?
Oh, yeah. That was me. Those are the pages that are cut unevenly. And I think it's meant to be like an aesthetic look. But fuck, do I hate it.
Yeah, you can't flip. Can't flip.
Can't flip through a book. Mm. Can't like, if you're looking for a note or something, it's almost impossible to find because the pages kind of stick together.
Yeah.
You know, you can't like... find individual spots. Hard to find a bookmark even if
again though I would like that,
like you put I often put like my, if I read on the subway, I slide my subway card into the book.
Oh yeah.
And then I'll just flip through it when I need it, but in a book like that I can't.
Right.
No.
What kind of paper do you like in a book?
Heavy.
The heavy kind of rougher paper.
I do. Yeah. I like it.
I like the stiffer, smoother paper.
Oh, interesting.
Because I like the crisp flip when I'm flipping with my thumb.
But you don't dog ear, right?
I do not dog ear.
So I do dog ear.
Right. You wouldn't want to dog ear a crisp piece of paper because that, that's there for life.
Yeah.
Do you guys break the spine?
No.
Absolutely not. That's blasphemous.
Yeah.
You break the spine?
Me? No.
I'm not sure this is an example of the best paper.
Right.
But it's in the neighborhood of paper preference.
This is okay.
Yeah.
But I prefer a bit thicker.
I just like the crispness.
Yeah.
I think
like,
for me,
pages it's just a snap when I flip them.
It's a question of are you
tight spine
working with that book or are you just enjoying it? Because like if I'm going to get like a second copy of a book or like a first edition, you know, like a hardcover version of a book that I already have read, then I want all of the extras. I want the thick paper. I want the deckled edges. I want the weird typeface. Like, I want all of it. Because I'm not really going to, like, read that book. Or if I do actually read that book, I'm going to be, like, kind of, like, kicked back and, like, I don't know, immersing myself in it. Whereas, like, if it's a book I haven't read 100%, no frills. Thin pages.
Yeah.
Fucking straight edges. Easy to read.
Get in and get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it makes a difference sometimes. Like the exam copies I've read or review copies I've read before, it always feels a bit less real because it feels like I'm reading something made very cheaply, which is the case. And I get why. It's not like, it's not
finished.
A knock on the book because it's supposed to be, you know, a review copy. But it does feel like a bit flimsy. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like the real version always feels nicer. So I appreciate.
Because it's like it looks like a PDF that got printed out and like stapled.
Yeah, even the cover feels flimsy.
Yeah,
usually,
there's even a paper cover. Yeah. That.
Oh yeah, totally. Sure, I have a review
copy.
Not like
paper back cover, but like paper cover, like cardstock. You know.
Yeah, I have a review copy of a Updike short story collection that is just a paper cover somewhere, and it's it just feels fake, right? Yeah. It's the same material, which is
bootleg Updike.
Yeah, it's a weird, you know, if I was starving for literature, I obviously wouldn't put up a fight with that. But still, it feels like if you want something more substantial in your hand.
Right.
I mean, reading the Under the Volcano volume, I liked that book a lot. It felt really good. It was a nice production. I was really impressed with it. But, you know, the norm is that I don't even notice it at all. Outside of aesthetic things like cover design, that kind of thing.
That might have been a slim topic. I don't know what else there is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of about things it. That bug me or not.
We've already talked about paperbacks versus hardbacks, right?
Yeah, we have. I'm increasingly a paperback boy.
I'm a paperback boy, too.
Yep. Or no, sorry, I meant hardback boy.
Oh.
Sorry.
How come?
I think because more often, if a book comes out that I want to get, I'll go and get it as soon as I know about it or whatever. So like I bought a Matt Taibbi book recently, and I was like, I wanted to read it. I think it's the day it came out. So I went and got it in hard copy or hardback, and I was like, yeah, great. Just bought it. I didn't think twice about waiting to get the paperback edition later on.
I will usually buy whichever one's cheaper, but if given the same price, I'll take the paperback.
Anything that I feel like I'm excited about, I will go ahead and just get the hard copy.
Really?
Reverse what about price, policy. Though? I don't buy enough books that I feel like or at least enough new books that I feel like I'm breaking the bank with a hard copy. Like a hard copy, every once in a while, is fine to me versus... Yeah, you know, I often buy books in used version anyway, so that's.
But I mean, it's such a fucking price difference. It's like $29 versus like $14.
Yeah, that's, I guess I just want to take it home.
Woof. I don't know. How do you guys feel, Dave? How do you feel about hardbacks? If you have to pay like $30+ for a hardback.
No, I almost never do it. And you know, if I'm in a used bookstore and the hardcover is like $1 and the paperback is $3, I'm inclined to buy the paperback.
Interesting.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if one's half the price of the other, I'm gonna get whatever's cheaper.
Right.
But if they're within the price of a coffee, I'm gonna take the one that. Well, usually it's paperback, but also I'll take the one whose cover I like better.
Mm, yeah. That's an important consideration too. That's a big balance for used book shopping too, is if you find three different editions of Under the Volcano, which one has the most alluring production design?
I do. I mean, also Amazon, I always click the used, you know, the remainders from bookstores or library discharges or whatever.
Right.
And I will literally pick the one who has the cover I like the most.
Right.
The problem with Amazon is that the pictures never match up.
They usually do.
I do a lot of, like I'm sure you guys do, like subway reading. And so I like a book, a paperback that I can kind of fold over and hold with one hand while I'm like being jostled around. That's not you don't the have only to worry reason for paperbacks, but it definitely is one reason.
Yeah, more like mobile, flexible in that regard. What about I know this edition of Under the Volcano that we read, or at least the three of us in here read, has that PS section in the back, the sort of like the reader's guide thing. Do you ever consume that stuff at all? Does that matter to you at all?
I poked around at that one, and it was okay. What I don't give two fucks about is when they put like the book club kind of questions in there.
Yes.
Because they're always just like the dumbest, you know, what were your feelings on what happened when he dumped his boyfriend? It's like, well, I don't care. This one was a little more interesting because I didn't really know anything about the author, and it was kind of contextualizing him a little bit. And it was also like 6 pages and took up like one column. It was weirdly formatted, so it was probably only like 500 words. But normally I will glance at them and not read them.
Right. Nico, what about you?
I didn't have it in my version.
But do you ever use those?
Rarely. I mean, it would.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine one that's not what Brick was just talking about with the book club questions.
Yeah, they often seem to fall in that category.
Yeah. Anything more than that, I mean, how many books do you see that on? 1 in 100, maybe.
I don't know. I see it more and more.
It's very rare.
I think so too.
It's more common with the re-releases of the public domain or the classics, I think, because they're sort of looking for a reason to have you buy their version as opposed to just the one you can get on the internet.
Well, if I really like the book, I'll read that kind of stuff. Like, if I want to know more about it, sure. But
totally.
If I don't like a book, then like I can't be bothered reading more about that book.
Right. It's going to make you like it. But it doesn't
bother me that it's there either. It's just easy enough to skip over and not look at.
Yeah, it feels like, to me, it feels like book publishing's answer to DVD extras. Mm. And it's funny that the DVD, or like movies, are well past that now in terms of like how they're promoting their work. And publishing is like still holding on to this like
kind of old fashioned. They should go back to that though, man. DVD extras were great.
Yeah, totally.
And now they don't have them anymore.
Because everything's streaming now. Or that's what the extras the market aren't. Is streaming.
I mean, I guess you can go poke around YouTube and find some of that shit. But it was nice when there's just, after the movie, it kicks straight to that thing with all the... You know, it kicks straight to that bonus menu with all like the dumb little vignettes and
or like the director's commentary.
Yeah,
I liked all that.
I feel like that's a generational thing that we perceive that as being valuable, and I think there's a a large contingent that just wants whatever the next thing is. Like, it's the sort of binge watching model.
I get it.
Like, this movie's over, time to move on to the
next movie.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's, I don't know. This is that's a different topic, I guess. I feel like it doesn't hurt them just to put, they already have those things. It's not like they need to make new, just drop the files into the folder when you press the Blu-ray.
Right.
Yeah.
I think there's a direct, I think Rian Johnson maybe does podcast versions of director's commentary. Like, as soon as a movie comes out. So, like, when Knives Out was in the theater, you could download the podcast of his director's commentary and go back and watch it again and put the director's commentary in and, like, watch it in the theater.
I like that.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, and it's a good way to, like, hey, all you fucking
get your fans to go twice.
Film nerds, yeah, you got to go again.
I mean, lots of the kind of boutique DVD publishers still do, like Criterion and Arrow, you know, do really good extra, like, bonus features, whatever. And then Criterion Channel will include lots of bonus features in some of their editions as well.
Is that worth it?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's really good.
I need to get it.
They have great stuff.
I just canceled Shudder.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, they sort of kind of still hold that sort of sense of there's context and background that you can maybe want to explore here.
I would be into that if books started doing that too. Like, if there was a re-release of fucking whatever, and then instead, like, if there was a re-release of Jane Eyre, and then instead of dry as shit dissection of whatever, there was like, oh, here's Charlotte Bronte's, like, fucked up life, and here's when she wrote this, and like...
That's that... I gushed about it on one episode, one of those Bedford St. Martin's editions that I have a ton of.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, and I love those, and I wish they did them more, where it's like, each book is twice as long as the actual... Each physical book is twice as long as the actual novel, and then the whole second half is literary criticism and contemporary articles and just sort of like context.
Yeah,
those are great, but there's only like 15 of them in the whole series.
That's those Norton Critical Editions are like too, right? That's the whole Norton Critical Edition model.
Yeah, that's true.
But those could, like Nico said, those can sometimes be a bit dull too. So,
I haven't read everything in any of those, you know.
Right.
But there's stuff to choose from.
Yeah, it's like it's there if you want it, and if you don't.
Yeah, and you know, and it's for books that I like Frankenstein, where I've read that book 10 times.
Right.
So now when I go back, I can sort of go through and kind of supplement the read with whatever sort of angle I was at when I was reading at that time, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I remember in college in my Melville class, we were. Had to buy a copy of Moby Dick to read, and the professor wanted us to buy the Norton Critical Edition, and I just bought a basic paperback version from Half Price Books, and I was like, is this fine? And he was like, well, I prefer to get the Norton edition, but whatever. And I remember him just like sort of resigning to it, and I was like, haha, I got away with this. And now I'm like, I wish I would have bought the Norton Critical Edition in the first place. Like, what was I thinking? Like, probably was a lot cooler, a lot more interesting, even though I, you know, still really enjoyed that novel. Well, let us know what you prefer in your book medium. Publish medium on Twitter at yakbabiespodcast and emails at gmail at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com is the email. And then, of course, you can find us at patreon.com/yakbabies for $1 a month. You can get access to all the things that are going on Patreon. Games, fun, drafts, power hours. So much is happening on Patreon. Even just conversations that you shouldn't be hearing are there. You can listen, eavesdrop on our lives and all the horrible things we do for $1 a month. It's all there. And then also review us somewhere on the internet. If you can go to the podcast app on your phone, if you don't use that, you can go somewhere else. And I'm sure you can leave a star rating and say, these gentlemen, they discuss the books and we like what they do. And we think that they're very good at their job, and just let us know what that is. That'd be great. We'd appreciate that. Yes, it is our job. This is our job. This is what we get paid for. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners and especially their patrons past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, and William Howard Taft.